Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen each and every week at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is April 1st, 2015, and I have not played any April Fool's jokes on anyone today. I would feel too guilty doing such a thing, but
it's still early.
It's not over yet.
So I will tell you the markets were up. No, they weren't. They said April Fool's. The markets were down slightly. The Dow closing at 17,698, the NASDAQ at 4880, and the S&P at 2059. Last week, Rod Young was here as we took listeners' tax questions. I want to thank Rod for helping out all month last month. It was great having him, and I really appreciate it. Tonight, we have another exciting show. I will be joined by attorney Buddy Lesovoy to discuss Open for Business, U, Inc., legal issues affecting startups and new businesses and small businesses. So that affects a lot of folks. So we're going to have some good information tonight. We are live. We will take your questions. Judy Ann's in the studio and will answer your calls, take your information, ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay. And we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. You can do that through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, or call in at 610-758-8810. Again, my guest this evening is attorney Buddy Lesovoy of Lesovoy Butts and Sites, LLC. He concentrates his practice in business, corporate, and real estate matters, working with many family and closely held businesses in the Lehigh Valley. He handles business startups, mergers, acquisitions, dispositions, business succession planning, and real estate matters. A native of Allentown, Buddy has a deep understanding of local businesses, serving as chairperson of the Board of Governors of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Prior to co-founding Lesovoy Butts and Sites, LLC, Buddy was a partner in one of the 100 largest national law firms for 13 years, where he served as managing partner of its Lehigh Valley office. So I would say that Buddy has some great experience on business structure himself. Welcome to the show, Buddy.
Thank you so much, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here and joining you tonight.
Thank you for coming. His reputation preceded him arriving on the show. I was getting happy, you know, like crazy emails from people. Like, I thought I was getting a rock star on the show tonight. So I
brought everything but my instruments.
So I'm setting the bar high. So, Buddy, let's start off the show talking about how you ended up focusing on businesses in your practice. Sometimes I feel like that lets folks, our listeners, know about the passion behind what you do and why you're doing it.
So I actually grew up in a family business environment. I had the great fortune of having short stints of being able to work with my father and his brother and their father, my grandfather, for a little bit of time. And so I had exposure to short stints as a third generation participant in family business. And in another one, which was a two generation, my father and my uncle had another business that I had the opportunity to work with. And I just loved business. So when I was finishing high school, having grown up in Allentown, I absolutely knew I wanted to go off to college and study business. I was so enamored with it, I pursued an MBA, working my way through at night, and considered the law, but I was mostly interested in the law in the hopes and expectation that when I went into business, nobody would mess with me if I had a law degree. So I now get the best of a lot of worlds because I have, as you mentioned, concentrated my entire legal career, now 28 years at it, by focusing on all things business, corporate, and real estate. So I get to work with business people on a daily basis. I've had the, you know, the great pleasure of even taking advantage of some business opportunities. So it's been a great, you know, dual perspective for me.
Can I ask what that family business was?
Yeah, sadly, it was in the good old days of textiles, when textiles was among the leading industries in the Lehigh Valley. My grandfather and his generation of brothers and sisters were all in a textile-related business. My my father's cousins got involved with it, and frankly, by the time I was in college, it was really the beginning of the demise of the entire industry.
Well, I came from a family of self-employed folks, and my father had a hardware store. So we also know where hardware stores went, the old creaky wood floors. So could be my hesitation of thinking about business. So that's a great story. I thank you for sharing it. Folks, if you have questions tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're going to talk about business structures. So many people go into business nowadays. It's a great endeavor, especially for people with entrepreneurial spirit and special skills and things like that. But it's really important to make sure that you consider the right business structure. You want to make sure you're not running into issues. So, Buddy, what do you think? Let's talk about, we have sole proprietors, we have partnerships, we have S-corps, we have C-corps, we have things called LLCs. Should we start with the most basic of these business structures first and kind of build up as we go through the show?
Yes, I think it would be a great starting point to talk about sole proprietorships. They happen to be the most common and popular form of business just because they're the easiest to get into. In fact, most people, I would say, are accidental sole proprietors. Oftentimes, people will have some hobby or passion or, you know, personal pursuit that they manage to turn into, you know, some little capitalistic entrepreneurial, you know, pursuit. And before they know it, they're, you know, making something, you know, providing a service as an individual. And without doing anything terribly formal, they're a sole proprietor. The technical definition of a sole proprietor is a single owner. Mm-hmm. And really, the advantage is that you do not have to do anything formal to establish one. So therefore, that accidental proposition. And clearly, another advantage is that you get to be queen or king of your business. You are 100% sole owner. You get to make all the decisions. Anything you say goes. And ideally, to the extent that you're successful and profitable, you get to keep 100% of the profit. Mm-hmm. So all good things, right? On the downside, you might say that, you know, maybe people have limited talent or capital, whether that's brain power or financial capital. You know, maybe they don't have all the expertise they need or want, so it becomes a bit of a challenge. But I would say to you and all of your listeners that the biggest downside to the form of business known as a sole proprietorship is the reality that you have 100% personal liability for anything and everything that you do or fail to do, regardless of what that is. So it's that liability exposure. It's the risk of, you know, the betting the family farm, if you will, every day, that is, you know, from my perspective, the disadvantage and sufficient disadvantage that we would never want to be a sole proprietor.
You know, Buddy, sometimes folks will be just starting up a business and they're not sure what direction it's going to take. Like, is it going to be something successful that they're going to be able to make a living at? Is there a point that someone should say, do I need to worry about liability issues if I'm just starting off, that I need to look at a business structure? Is there like a rule of thumb?
I don't know that there is a rule of thumb per se. I mean, my advice to clients routinely is, you know, as soon as you can reasonably justify it. So clearly to be something other than a sole proprietor, you've got to, you know, usually have to do something a little more. There may actually be some expense in picking one of the entities that requires the formalities and filings and registrations, etc. So, you know, the reality is that, again, I'm a business guy, frankly, that happens to be a lawyer. So I try to take and provide a very practical perspective. So your point is very well taken. If it's an absolute flyer, if it's a one-off, I'm trying buying. I'm going to see. I'm going to test the waters. I would say that's, you know, probably fair game. But beyond just sort of a little bit of dabbling, the sooner the better is mm-hmm. my advice.
Okay. And we're going to talk about reasons why, a little bit more about liability when we come back. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Okay, welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. Excuse me, I've suddenly lost my voice. And we have with us this evening attorney Buddy Lesavoy, and we are talking about business structure, basically open for business, you, Inc. So this is applicable to folks who are currently in business, thinking about going into business, and possibly even dissolving a business. So we're going to try to touch on all these points, see what we get to. If you have questions, it's probably the sooner the better to call in to ask those questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with us or give your question to Judy Ann and she'll write it down and bring it into us. So right before the break, we were talking about the simplest business structure being self-employed, sole proprietor, and whether or not it makes sense to go through a more formal process might take some consideration about whether you're making money or not, because if you're not really making any money, you may not be able to afford the you know, legal cost of setting up that structure, or even probably sometimes it could be a little stressful for people to kind of think about all these things they have to go through when they're trying to be in business and do all the things they need to do. But you said sometimes as a businessman first, you might not want to wait too long, though. And I think one of the biggest concerns would be liability issues. Now, one thing that some business owners might have, if you're a sole proprietor, have like an umbrella policy, what are some of the couple little things legally someone could do to protect themselves before they go into that formal arrangement and then going into that formal arrangement?
So you hit it right on the head. I mean, clearly any and every business should have appropriate insurances. The challenge, by the way, with insurance is simply that sometimes, you know, you have not enough. Sometimes it's not the right coverage. Anybody that has ever dealt with insurance knows there's almost the same absolute as taxes and death. The insurance premium is always going up, and the coverage and the fine print is always, you know, reducing the scope of protection, right? So so there's some limitations, or at least some risks that, you know, you may or may not be able to get appropriate, sufficient coverages. But it's a necessary element of doing business. It's a practical reality of doing business. You want to have, you know, as much protection as you reasonably can. That is one method. Clearly also, you know, being professional at whatever it is you're doing. It could be a trade. It could be, you know, a service. It could be, you know, product development. But each and every type of business typically has, you know, minimum necessary requirements in the way of those insurances. Some are more affordable than others. And any entity that we will ultimately talk about later in the show is not a substitute for, but in fact is yet another layer of protection of sorts. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned umbrella. So the concept of an umbrella coverage is typically there is some basic liability insurance, product liability insurance, general liability insurance, premises insurance, property and casualty insurance. The list of insurances is like endless, right? But then there's also what is known and referred to as an umbrella, which is yet another overarching layer of protection that sort of takes you up a notch and hopefully, you know, substantially. And so you might have $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 of basic you know, first layer protection, but then you pick up an umbrella policy that adds maybe another million, or ideally two or three or five or 10, depending upon the nature of the business. And having a great, you know, insurance, ideally broker, that has access to different lines of insurance, different carriers of insurance, that can shop it and get you, you know, the best combination of price and coverage, is advisable for anyone in business.
Before we move on to the more complex business structure, at what point does someone say, I need to go see my attorney about this, or I need to see my insurance agent about it, or should they be coordinating both of those things? Because here's my fear. If I'm a sole proprietor and I think I'm going to get all the coverage I might need through my insurance, and my insurance agent is happy to help me kind of make sure I have those coverages, does that negate the need for the attorney? And I'm not trying to give you a plug. I'm trying to really say, you know, is that enough protection, or might there not be quite enough? And then, having said that, when you're working with attorneys, are they going to possibly help you say, okay, yes, your business structure is okay right now as a sole proprietor, but here's what we need to get you in line for
next level.
Yeah, next level.
Yeah. So another great point. And, you know, I'm delighted to recognize and credit you with your CFP, right? So I studied the whole concept of certified financial planners back in literally 1980, and immediately embraced their concept, which was sort of the team universal planning approach, right? Get the right, you know, lawyers, bankers, financial advisors, insurance people, tax advisors, get everybody to the table. And as a team, you can and then comprehensively, collaboratively, you know, help the client. That's my philosophy. So, you know, in the ideal world, it wouldn't matter whether you started with an attorney or an insurance broker or your banker or your financial planner, or, you know, whoever it is, hopefully would likewise, you know, be professional enough to bring the rest of the team to the table. Certainly, when I have the opportunity to start that discussion, I'm quick to make those recommendations, bring the rest of the team together, tell me who they are, let us coordinate it, so that, you know, no one professional is giving blind advice that may be to the detriment of the other silos, so to speak. So by all means, that collaborative approach is ideal. And, you know, with that team approach, you can definitely better tailor the tracking. So, you know, if somebody's starting off very casually, very small, very careful, you know, and they want to bail because it's not really going the way they want, then they don't have a whole lot invested in the business, right? On the other hand, if it starts taking off, and it becomes clearer that this is going to be a more meaningful investment of their time, their money, their effort, and, you know, and generate potential exposures for them or their family, then by all means, again, sooner rather than later, you want to have the benefit of counsel. You know, I would say it's never too soon to reach out to a lawyer. Of course, that comes off as self-serving as a lawyer, but I'd be saying that if I was from the financial side. And likewise, I say it's never too soon to call your CFP, you know, and get your professional, you know, financial advisor engaged and helping you, you know, understand where, what, how you can do what's best for you and your family.
Right. Well, I end every show by saying be proactive, not reactive. And this is part of that, that you have to be proactive in these instances to make sure that you're protecting yourself up front. And the number is 610-758-8810 to call in. That is 610-758-8810. John just gave me the clue. I have to say the phone number. Before we go to our next break, let's segue into the next part, which is
partnerships.
Partnerships. So I've been on my own. I need, you know, an extra, you know, person here, either in service or counsel or running the books, whatever, and they want to come in as a partner.
Right. So, you know, so we talked a little bit about sole proprietorship, single owner by definition. You know, the next option is what's known as a general partnership. And the concept there is that's where two or more people come together in the common pursuit of a business. It's a great concept, because here's where, again, that collaboration comes into play. Maybe you've got somebody that, you know, is great on the technical side, the production side, the design side, the, you know, imagination, but maybe lacks the, you know, financial skills, the marketing skills, the administrative skills, you know, manufacturing, etc. So here's where, you know, multiple parties, you know, can come together, bring their talents together, and then, you know, where one you know, neither one or, you know, none of the many potentially could do anything or this pursuit on their own, but coming together where they pool the resources. And now, again, it's both talent and potentially, you know, financial resources. Mm-hmm. Now it's the two heads are better than one. The two pockets are better than one. And together you have the advantage now of maybe being able to, you know, collaboratively make things work. Again, those advantages are, you know, the pooling of resources. You get the, you know, the reality is that now you're no longer queen or king of your business. Okay, maybe it's a couple of princes or princesses or a combination thereof. You no longer get to keep 100% of the profits if you're successful. You've got to, you know, split them. Quickly, on the downside, though, let me caution that anytime two or more people are coming together in business, they really need to have something in writing, whether it's a legal requirement or just a downright, you know, pure bottom line practical one. I would tell your listeners this. And by the way, you made some disclaimers early on in the show. Let me throw mine out there. We're not giving legal advice. Right. Okay, we're providing general, you know, guidance here. And I'm also not an accountant. I'm not a tax advisor. I defer all of those topics to you. But in the, you know, in the partnership realm, here, again, by definition, it's more than one. There's two or more, and there's no limit. But we've got to have a written agreement so that the rules of engagement are clearly understood and defined for everybody.
And we're going to talk more about that in just a second when we come back from our break. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are hearing bells in our headphones. Okay. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can ask questions on air or off air. And we have in the studio with us this evening the notable attorney Buddy Lesavoy. And we are talking about business structures. And this is really about you, you Inc. Folks who are thinking about going into business, have a business, or possibly even going out of business or changing your business structure. So there's lots of information and there's lots of business owners out there. We did have a call come in off air. Tom called in and he said liability insurance and umbrella policies. What do you suggest about personal umbrella policies and what limits you should be looking at? How would you calculate the coverage needed?
Yeah, so great question, Tom. Thanks for calling in. And Lori, I'm delighted and thankful that you referred to me as a notable attorney, and at least you didn't pronounce it not able. So in any event, with respect to, you know, amounts of liability and personal umbrella type policy. So first and foremost, again, just to, not to get caught up in semantics, but the idea of a personal umbrella policy suggests to me that it may not cover business applications and pursuits. So this is where, again, I don't pretend to be an insurance agent, or I'm not an insurance agent or broker. Yeah, I'm not licensed in any of these fields. And I strongly recommend, you know, finding a great insurance broker. I have, you know, several that I know, one in particular that, you know, I work with extensively. And, you know, if there's an opportunity to speak off air, I'd be more than happy to make a recommendation and a referral. But the critical thing is that dealing with professionals in the right fields, they can help you better define and delineate what's right. My benchmark is, frankly, as much as you can afford, and just be sure that you have the right coverages for the right applications. You know, I have seen and heard many horror stories where people had the wrong coverages, or the pursuit was specifically excluded or not covered by the policy. And if an agent or a broker clearly understands what the nature and scope of the business is, then they can tailor and make sure that you are absolutely covered and there's no risk of a gap in coverage.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Tom. We appreciate it. Folks, if you do have questions, you can call in off air or on air. And the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We were talking about partnerships.
And I want to make an important point to your listeners. Again, we talked about proprietorships, a single owner by definition, partnerships where multiple owners are involved. I mentioned the importance of having a written agreement so that the rules of engagement are clear. Absent a written agreement, the state laws would apply, and those laws basically say everybody is equal. Equal say, equal access, equal profit, you know, sharing, equal, you know, ability and responsibility for, you know, anything and everything, which means that a single partner could go run and, you know, sign a check out and wipe out the bank accounts. Okay. And so, you know, it's important to have something in writing. But the big downside to the form of business known as a partnership is that where I mentioned in a sole proprietorship, you've got this unlimited personal liability for anything and everything you do or fail to do. In a partnership, you literally have full unlimited personal liability for anything and everything you do or fail to do, but equally so for each and every one of your partners. So it's this unlimited personal liability to the geometric power of however many partners there may be. So if you couldn't tell that I wasn't a fan of sole proprietorships, you can be absolutely certain I totally detest general partnerships. It's this, you know, unlimited liability mm-hmm. to the exponential power that scares me to, mm-hmm. you know, away from that as fast as I can run.
Just like, I mean, this is a weird little analogy I'm just going to throw out there, and I probably shouldn't. It might not be appropriate. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But just like the airline flight we just saw, there was a pilot and a co-pilot. Who couldn't be responsible sometimes for what our co-pilot or our partners might do? You just never know.
Exactly.
So it's something to be aware of. So in a partnership, though, that partnership agreement also, as Buddy had said, there are people who are bringing maybe talents and other folks bringing financial resources. So there usually can be written language in there, possibly how they may be sharing in some of that, the profits or the liabilities, and how different people are going to get compensated.
Absolutely. And I would say that it's often the situation where the intentions are not to be equal, you know, mm-hmm. where there may be a more senior, you know, majority owner and, you know, and maybe younger and, you know, up and coming lesser partners, you know, minority partners in the business. But if you don't have it in writing, mm-hmm. you could not would not necessarily be able to enforce that.
Okay. And a partnership, folks, it's considered a flow-through entity, and all of the income and or losses flow through to the partners as well. Very similar to as a sole proprietor, so you're still going to have self-employment tax and things like that on your income. So, Buddy, before we go to our next break, what would the next segue be then to partnerships if you're not a fan? What is something else folks have in their quiver to pick
yeah,
from?
Yeah, so let me just introduce but blow through this quickly, because it's not a general application option, but there is a hybrid. So, you know, if we've effectively ruled out proprietorships and we've effectively ruled out general partnerships, there's a type of business entity known as a limited partnership. You technically have two classes of partners. One is a general, and the general partner gets to make all the decisions and have complete control over management. And limited partners are really in it for one thing only, and that's just the financial investment. They're looking for a return on their capital. And the rules of engagement there are is that the limited partners are not permitted to participate in the active management or in the decision-making process. The general partners have full control and autonomy to make those decisions, but As a result, those general partners have that unlimited liability exposure. So most business people, it seems to me, want to be the generals because they want to be the decision makers. And then you have to sucker or convince others to invest in your business as limited partners, right? But most people are not terribly inclined to part with their money if they don't get any say, if they have no ability to, you know, to have input. And then from the owner's standpoint as a general partner, I'm telling you already, I don't like the idea that you've got liability exposure. Mm-hmm. So while it exists and they have, you know, a purpose and a great application in limited circumstances, it is a hybrid. And I think after the break, we can get into some real options that, you know, might be the better choices.
Okay. And some folks may be familiar with limited partnerships if they, for example, have investments that are in master limited partnerships. And typically, folks, you might own a 0.0009% share of a limited partnership. So they don't have exposure to liabilities of the other partners, hence the word limited. And that might be why it might be something you're familiar with. In that vein, we're talking about business structure for folks who are entrepreneurial, starting up own business, and looking at all the different business structures that you may consider working with your attorney and your advisors. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We will be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And we are back. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I'm your host, Lori Siebert. I have with me in the studio attorney Buddy Lesovoy of Lesovoy Butts and Sights, LLC. Buddy was big business attorney, likes businesses, loves businesses. That's his passion. Came from a family of business owners, grew up with it, lives it, breathes it, and you can hear the passion. And that's what I look for when we're here on public radio, education, talking to folks, and trying to help them in their financial decisions and financial choices that they're making. I think this is a really important subject because there are so many people who go into business, and sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. But I like people to be prepared ahead of time, being proactive and making sure they're making all the right decisions up front. And it actually probably sets them up for a better chance of success when they have a goal in mind, when they're thinking about the future and projecting out, meeting with attorneys and making sure they have the best business structure. So we've gone through sole proprietor. We've talked a bit about partnerships. Now let's talk about corporations.
Yeah, so now that we're 0-for-3 in the hit list of options, let's get to one that actually does cover one of the biggest issues for me. As a lawyer, I'm always trying to help my clients protect themselves and their families. And one of the best ways to do that is by using the form of business known as a corporation for purposes of their business. Corporations have been around for our entire lifetimes and way beyond. It's something that we sort of inherited from the English system. They're tried, they're true. You know, they've been perfected over the decades and now centuries. And the big advantage for me, and especially as it compares to the other three forms of business, the proprietorships, the general partnerships, the limited partnerships, is that this is the first form of business that we're discussing that provides liability protection for all of its owners. But we also have to sort of get used to a whole new vocabulary and vernacular. We call owners of corporations shareholders. There is a bit of a formality and hierarchy associated with this type of entity. And by the way, one thing I would tell your listeners is that any form of business that provides liability protection for any of its owners. So in the first one we talked about was the limited partnership. And now likewise in the corporate structure where all of the owners, the shareholders have liability protection, it should signal that there has to be something formal. There is what is known as a filing of articles of formation, or in the case of a corporation, articles of incorporation. It's a formal filing that is prepared and submitted to the home state's corporation bureau in Pennsylvania. It's in, you know, take this to Harrisburg, you file it with the Secretary of State's Office of Corporation Bureau, and you file it. That does two things. One, it raises money for the state because mm-hmm. they get a filing fee. But it then gets you of record, and now, you know, having the formality of the formation process, you can at least make yourselves eligible for the protections that it affords. So we have shareholders that are the owners. In the, again, these formalities, the ranks, if you will, the shareholders as the owners elect a board of directors. These are presumed to be the visionaries, those that establish the goals, the objectives, the mission, the vision of the, you know, the corporate pursuit. The board of directors, in turn, would then appoint officers. The critical ones are president, secretary, and treasurer. They are deemed to be in charge of managing the operations and implementing that vision from above, from the board of directors. Mm-hmm. So you've got the owner shareholders electing a board of directors who, in turn, appoint the officers to implement and manage the operation. And then typically they would be the ones to hire the employees where you might finally get something done, right?
Okay, I'm going to stop you just for a second because, first of all, I want to say the phone number again, 610-758-8810. And then I want to say, Buddy, maybe when you first said corporation, the listeners are thinking, oh, wait, corporations, double taxation, lots of money. So everything you had just said might scare someone off from that. So,
well, but before you even get to the money and taxation issues, you know, let me say this. Not all corporations need to be the size and scope of the likes of what we grew up with, you know, in the old days of Bethlehem Steel. And now today, you know, PPL and Air Products, and they don't have to be gargantuan. The fact is, you could be a one-woman corporate entity unto yourself. You could literally be the sole shareholder that elects yourself the sole director, that appoints yourself the sole officer, and there may not be any employees. So you could be wearing that proverbial hat with every, you know, different visor on it and serving in all these capacities. So be certain that these are scalable. They scale down from as few as one to as many as unlimited, right? I mean, not literally infinite, but you know, the likes of Air Products and PPL probably have millions of shareholders, mm-hmm. quasi-owners, partial mm-hmm. owners, fractional mm-hmm. owners. So they scale beautifully, all right? You know, the reality with these types of business, and by the way, it's probably appropriate to share a little more vocabulary, okay, because yep. we've got references to the likes of domestic and foreign and alien and public and private and nonprofit and professional, right? So these each have sort of technical differences to them, depending upon where they're established, right? So if we're establishing a Pennsylvania corporate entity and we're doing business in Pennsylvania, we're considered domestic. But if we were doing business across the state line into as close as New Jersey, Jersey would view us as a foreign. And it's the alien references to foreign countries. So if we're dealing with the likes of a corporate type of entity coming from, you know, England or somewhere else in, you know, Europe or some other continent, those would be deemed alien here. And likewise, if we were doing business internationally in another country, they would deem us as an alien status. Mm-hmm. The distinction between public and private is that public is the reference to those corporate entities that are publicly traded, the likes of PPL and Air Products, and, you know, where you can go on a stock exchange. You mentioned, you know, where the different indices ended today. Those stocks that trade on an open exchange are public. Private are the ones that I think we're talking about for ourselves and our listeners, where they're privately owned. The only way anybody gets stock in my corporate entity is if I say they can have stock in my corporate entity. Likewise for you, if you
had
one.
Which could be a great planning strategy for the family, but go ahead.
Exactly right, right? So we control it. It's private rather than public. Public does not mean in this sense that it's, you know, government owned. And then there are nonprofit corporate entities. WDIY, for instance, is a fantastic nonprofit corporate type entity. They are not in it for the entrepreneurial, pure entrepreneurial, certainly not from a capitalistic perspective. They're in it for the good and the greater good of the community at large, trying to do good things. So, you know, not everybody is a capitalist at heart, but I would urge those that might be to think of the likes of WDIY and be charitable and help, you know, give back, keep us on the air, and maybe even an opportunity for me to come back as a guest someday. So support your charities, but those charities are typically not-for-profit, otherwise known as non-profit. And then there's the last category of professional corporations. Those typically are for the likes of what we would think of as the traditional professions, where the profession is licensed. So I, as a lawyer, I need a, you know, a license to practice law. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, CPAs as yourself, and engineers are the classics for the category of professional corporation. I might add there's no particular advantage to being a professional corporation, maybe other than the fact that you can exclude the non-licensed professionals from sharing in the ownership, because one of the rules there is that you must own and have a proper, valid, current license to be an owner in a corporate entity of a professional corporation. All right. So there's some great advantages, and the big one is that you have this protection for all of the owners, again, shareholders.
Can we talk now further a definition, the difference between when people think of corporations, and you mentioned the big ones that we talked about, a corporation versus an S corporation.
Yes.
Do we
want
to go there yet?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So the reality is that, you know, and maybe it would be helpful to help your listeners envision the reality, or what would hopefully be the reality of a corporate business in process. So, you know, a business structures itself as a corporation. It has a successful year. At the end of the year, they determine that they've paid all their bills, they've paid their employees, they've paid their rent, they've paid their vendors, etc. And lo and behold, when the day is done, they have hopefully a big pot of profit. Just to make the example, work well and simple math, let's say that it is so successful, there's $1 million left over when the end of the day comes. So if it's my corporation, I can tell you I would be doing backflips. In fact, I would be so excited that I would throw a party. I would invite you. I would invite all your listeners to come and play with us and celebrate $1 million profit. Okay. Uh-huh. And I can tell you how this would play out. The first person to the party would be none other than Uncle Sam.
Right.
He'd be waving his red, white, and blue flag, and he would proceed to hand me a roughly $400,000 tax bill. Between federal, state, and local corporate taxes, I would end up with a $400,000 bill. From my $1 million, I would have $600,000. So now I would only hope that you or someone else would help resuscitate me back to consciousness. And once I was, resurrected, I would realize, okay, look, $600,000 is a ridiculous amount of money. I am still in the partying mood. I'm ready to celebrate. I invite everybody back. Maybe we lose the meatballs and the flowers, but we're still ready to celebrate. And first one to the party is, again, none other than Uncle Sam. Now he's waving a slightly smaller red, white, and blue flag, but he proceeds to hand me another bill for $240,000 of personal income tax, roughly 40% of the after corporate tax $600,000 profit is going to generate a $240,000 personal income tax bill to me.
Yeah.
Between federal, state, and local. So what was $1 million that got reduced down to $600,000 after corporate taxes is then going to be reduced down to $360,000 net in my pocket. Okay.
Right.
Now, again, that is a ridiculously substantial, net mm-hmm. income. Mm-hmm. But that is what is known as the curse of double taxation. The corporation is considered an entity unto itself, so much so that it is responsible for its own taxation. By the way, Pennsylvania has the dubious distinction of being technically the second highest corporate taxed state in the universe. But when you add in yet what is known as the capital stock and franchise tax, it actually puts us over the top, makes us number one in a category we do not want to be number one in. But the ultimate point is that it's this double taxation. And the double taxation hurts to the point where the pain was so severe that creative entrepreneurs, you know, kicked, screamed, carried on and said, something has to be done. We have to do something different. Right. And so out of that was what was born was a special subsection of the Internal Revenue Code known as Subchapter S. And Subchapter S says something that you referred to early in the show when you pointed out that proprietors get taxed flow through, partnerships get taxed flow through. So Subchapter S, this is the non-accountant, not tax advisor perspective on it. But the concept is it is partnership taxation under Subchapter S, which is this flow through taxation. The theory is that $1 million that I talked about is deemed to flow through to the shareholders directly. No stop for corporate taxation. All of it is deemed personal income. And so rather than two layers, double taxation, the $1 million is deemed to flow through directly. And now the recipient is taxed at their individual income tax, personal income tax rates at the federal, state, and local level. Still a big bite. Mm-hmm. Okay, still roughly 40% all in at those levels. So what was $1 million now hopefully is net in our pocket, $600,000, not doubly taxed, netting us merely $360,000.
And there's some nuances to that as well, folks, but we want to hear more about S corporations. And as we round out the end of the show, we're also going to talk about LLCs, limited liability companies. If we have time, I'd like to talk about that because quite often people will say, yeah, I have a corporation, I have an LLC, but that's not always the whole story. And I think that folks need to certainly, if they're going into these ventures, need to understand what they're going into. And so we want to talk about that. If you have questions, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown. You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Currently 50 degrees in the Lehigh Valley, tonight a low of 31, tomorrow Thursday mostly sunny with a high near 62. Thursday night a 60% chance of showers, low of 51 degrees. Friday a 70% chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy with a high near 64. Friday night a 70% chance of showers, low of 44. For Saturday, 30% chance of showers before 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 51. Saturday night, a low of 33, and for Easter Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 53 degrees. And now back to Your Financial Choices and Lori Siebert.
Thank you, John. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call in live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable, or send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com, and I can also, you know, forward those to Buddy as well. And I do have Buddy here in the studio, and that is attorney Buddy Lesovoy from Lesovoy Butts and Sites LLC. We are talking about businesses and business structures. He's very passionate about this, knows a lot. It's all very important, especially for folks who are thinking about going into business or possibly even dissolving, and I don't know if we'll have time to talk about that. But we were just talking about the transition from sole proprietor or partnerships or corporations, and that there's different kinds of corporations, the traditional corporation or an S corporation, which is a subchapter S from the Internal Revenue Code, and that S corporation gave folks the opportunity to have that liability protection that they were getting through the C corp, but to avoid the double taxation by making it a flow-through type of transaction. And we did just have a question that came in from Brett. And the question is, you mentioned S-Corp has 40% all in. So can you provide more details about someone would choose a corporation over an S-Corporation? And one of the things I was going to start to talk about is the S-Corporation with the flow through has some options for our shareholders. So do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I would almost think it came from my own son named Brett. and the reality is that, and first I want to actually provide a technical distinction. A corporation is a corporation is a corporation. The reference to S is really not a different corporation. In fact, it's a tax election.
Okay.
And again, I want to remind our listeners that I am completely disclaiming anything tax and accounting related. You can listen and hear anything I have to say, but you could never rely on my comments. You want to engage your tax and accounting professionals to provide, you know, the proper advice and guidance.
I'm not an attorney, which is why
we make a great team.
Of saying two different things.
Right? So what I tell clients all the time is that the distinction between whether or not they should or should not elect subchapter S treatment is really a question that has to be addressed with their tax and accounting professionals. Because as you said, there are some potential advantages and some disadvantages. I'm not as well versed as you and other, you know, tax-oriented specialists and CPAs might be. Some things are deductible in one category but may not be deductible in another. So it is important. And whether or not a company is looking to, typically, in my own, again, somewhat simplistic perspective, is where a company, if it is mean and lean and it doesn't require substantial capital investment and, you know, it doesn't rely on big assets and, you know, and big plant and equipment, and it's much more of a flow through, you know, you want as much as possible to flow out to the owners, that might actually suggest one side or the other of this equation, right? While the opposite may be true, you know, in a different structure. Another way to eventually sort of maybe get closer to the same endpoint might be with bonuses and salary adjustments so that there may not be so much quote unquote profit in a traditional non-S, which we refer to as a C corporation. Mm-hmm. Again, a C or an S is just a tax distinction. It's the same corporate entity. But with good professional tax and accounting guidance, you can typically maximize the benefits to the owners. So again, bring in your accountant, mm-hmm. much like we talked about bringing in an insurance specialist, and always have a great financial planner by your side.
Okay.
So I think, you know, it probably is a good point maybe to transition over to LLCs.
Yes.
Before we run out of time tonight, LLCs have become the hottest, you know, option of all. By way of a little bit of quick history, Pennsylvania was the second last state in the country to finally adopt LLC legislation. And it was implemented originally to be effective January 1 of 1994, so 21 years ago. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But classic Pennsylvania state legislature was having some budgetary challenges. And in the eve of passage, they declared that for our purposes, they will be taxable as though they are Pennsylvania corporations in the state of Pennsylvania. And as I mentioned before the break, Pennsylvania has that dubious distinction of having the highest tax structure for corporations in the universe. So nobody in their right mind wanted to be an LLC in Pennsylvania. It took 4 years till they fixed that. And so effective January 1 of 1998, now merely roughly, you know, 17 years ago, they finally fixed it. And since then, they got off to a relatively slow start, but it has been explosive since. By way of at least an anecdotal perspective, I would tell our listeners that I am forming at least 10 times as many LLCs in the last 5 or more years as I do corporations during the course of the year. And the reason is that they are slightly simpler, slightly less formal, and slightly less expensive. Well, that's a perfect combination for any business person I know who doesn't like simpler, less formal, and slightly less expensive. And so here's a little bit of a quirky technical distinction. First and foremost, understand that LLCs are providing the same level of protection, liability protection for all of its owners. So we start off by at least sort of comparing them to corporations and saying that you get the best of both worlds, right? There's still a technical formality of filing, like any entity that provides liability protection. It's the same filing fee. But beyond that, there are some distinctions. The Pennsylvania statutes, as is true, by the way, of virtually every state statutes, although I'm only licensed in Pennsylvania and I'm only going to speak about Pennsylvania, the statutes require that corporations have annual meetings of its shareholders and directors. Well, if you and I were to form, you know, our own independent, you know, corporate entities, and you were the sole shareholder, director, officer, and employee of yours, and I was the same in mine, and again, I can recognize already that we are both upstanding citizens, mm-hmm. and we would obey the law to the letter, right? Mm-hmm. That means technically each of us must give ourselves advance written notice of the date, time, and place mm-hmm. we intend to talk to ourselves about the list of things we put on the agenda to be covered at our meeting, and then we actually have to keep good notes of what it was we talked to ourselves about, because those become the corporate minutes that you have to put into your corporate minute book. All right. Well, how nonsensical is that? The reality is that those technical formalities and requirements were developed because of the likes of Air Products and PPL and, you know, the earliest of early corporate entities that were in existence, because truth be told, if there wasn't some statutory requirement that they have a meeting of their shareholders, they would never do so, mm-hmm. right? They would mm-hmm. do whatever they want to do. They would never include us. And, you know, so they wouldn't have to answer to anybody. But the statutes are applicable to whether we're one or a million shareholders or anything in between. So we are subject to the same, you know, mm-hmm. in this case, nonsensical technical rules. Those statutes also provide that corporations must have corporate seals, that we must issue formal certificates to evidence the ownership interest of our shareholders. And that costs money, too. Right. And those corporate statutes require that corporations advertise their existence, not just in one publication, but in two publications. All right. So between the advertising requirements, the corporate seal, the stock certificates, the proper corporate minute book, you know, what we see in the local regional area in the Lehigh Valley is that those costs could run $300-$500. And by the way, if you were doing this in the likes of Center City, Philadelphia or Manhattan, we could be talking thousands of dollars for advertisements. Well, bottom line is the LLC legislation does not require those types of formalities. There is not a technical requirement for annual meetings. There don't have to be shareholders, although you can establish a certificated shareholder styled LLC. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have officers. You don't have to have directors, but you can. And you don't have the technical advertising requirement. So we can save hundreds of dollars right off the bat by not being a corporation, getting the best of both worlds, again, getting the protection that the corporation provides that LLCs enjoy without some of those types of formalities and expenses. So there we have, you know, again, those are the primary advantages.
Can I bring it back then to the beginning of the show where we talked about sole proprietor and how there is this element of, you know, liability protection that they may not have other than through some of the insurance that they might use. So it's not that a sole proprietor in itself is necessarily a no-no, but a sole proprietor within an LLC, single member LLC.
Yeah,
is that giving us that protection?
It is, as long as we have the LLC entity formed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
So again, this is technical. This is a technical thing, but you're not a sole proprietor if you are an LLC. By definition, you could be the sole member or a single member
right.
of an LLC, and you get all that autonomy and unilateral kingship, queenship, as I described earlier, but you do so within the context of the LLC. And it's absolutely critical that your listeners appreciate this. There are fundamental formalities, and I would say there's three. Okay. First and foremost, we want to be a corporation or an LLC, ideally. All right. And as part of that, the name must designate and declare you to be one or the other. Right. Corporations have a few choices. You can end your name with corporation, incorporated, company, or limited, or the recognized abbreviations for each of those. And in the case of LLCs, it typically is LLC. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the formality that we want to never forget is that we always want to include the full name, including the designator, telling the world precisely what we are. All right. So first and foremost, name, including the designator.
Okay.
Second, you can never commingle the money. The formal entity money must be segregated and kept apart and segregated and separate from personal funds. Okay. Mm-hmm. As a proprietorship, there may not be a difference, mm-hmm. right? There's no legal requirement that you do so. And if it's you and you alone as a proprietor, who really cares? It may be sloppy bookkeeping. It may make life a lot harder to appreciate whether you're making money or you're not making money. But it's an absolute requirement in one of these formal entity selections of corporate or LLC option. And the third thing I would tell your listeners is that if you combine name with proper financial management and segregation of those funds, and you combine that with decent business ethics and integrity, mm-hmm. you will likely not have a problem. Now, I can never say absolutely, you know, definitively, you will never have a problem. But again, if you combine those three things, you are as good as you're going to get in business.
That's great, buddy. I appreciate you being here. Last words, we have about 1 minute.
Well,
how do people reach you?
Well, they can reach me. We have a website, lesavoidbutts.com. We are a local Lehigh Valley-based business. We're in the phone books, the directories. Our phone number is 610-530-2700, 610-530-2700, or lesavoidbutts.com, and you can get more information than you'd ever want to know about me and my colleagues.
And I love that Buddy included the queens and princesses tonight. I really appreciate that, and I'm very sensitive to those things. So last week I was keeping a poll of how many women were calling in compared to the men. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It was very informative, very helpful. Folks, this will be available as a podcast on WDIY.org in probably within a week or so, and also available on yourfinancialchoices.com. So if you couldn't catch everything, it really is a primer, helps you think through all the options that you might have. And Buddy is a great teacher here. So I thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to have you on again. Next week, folks, I'm going to wrap up tax season, and then I'm going to be off for a couple weeks. So next week, wrapping up tax season and what we learned. And remember, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.